May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. One of the things that I love about getting older is that it just gets better. Paul said that. He said that even though his outer man was decaying, his inner man was being renewed day by day. So I've known that for years, that this was a time to look forward to. And though things can get kind of weird, you hear people say, like, getting old is for sissies. No, getting old is for people who are in Christ. It doesn't work really well for anybody else. I'd hate to get old. But one of the cool things about getting older is that you've just encountered and experienced enough to where, like, David could look back and say throughout the years, one thing he could tell them, that he's never seen the righteous suffer hunger. That's an encouraging word that really can only be told by a grandfather, because they've walked it out enough to be able to say that as testimony. My grandfather's name is Babu. Babu Swahili for grandfather. My youngest, Malachi, who's just 16 months old, he loves to say Babu, which makes me love to be around Malachi. So this is going to be a Babu word. And so I enjoy when I teach now, because all the words are Babu words. I can say to you now from over 40-something years experience of walking this out that don't be the bonehead that I've been so many times in the journey. I love young people. I love all the prophetic words that have been given about young people. There have been so few prophetic words given about the older people, which is amazing to me, because I think something's wrong. I think somehow we're compelled to give words to younger people, and they're valid words, but Paul spoke a lot more about elders and the older people than he did about young people. I think God's raising up an army of older people who are experiencing renewal. That's just by nature of growing older in Christ. They being renewed day by day. Renewal is a word for revival. They just have things to say. I mean, John was awesome when he was a young guy. He laid his head on the breast of Jesus. He was the only guy who went back to the cross. He was there at the Gate Beautiful when the guy was healed. And Peter prayed for him. Saw a lot of cool things happen. But he wrote the book of the Revelation when he was 93. And he wrote the greatest gospel of all to me, the Gospel of John, when he was 95. So this whole issue of spiritual retirement or whatever is nonsense. It gets better. You may move slower, but I think that's a gift too, because then you can take in more. One of the things that I discovered over the years that's just been reinforced in my life daily is that we celebrate people being hungry for God. And I'm thankful there's a generation that seemed to have a real hunger for God. Circumstances that are around us promote that, because he's the only place to go, the only thing that seems stable, that's consistent, that we can turn to. And we hunger for more. But what we forget is that God's hunger for us to have all predated and far outweighed our hunger for him to have more. And in some ways, God celebrates our hunger, but in some ways, I think it grieves his heart that we're asking God to give us things that he paid an enormous price to have already given to us, as if the cross wasn't enough. When Jesus said at the cross, "It's finished," he actually meant, "It's finished." It wasn't the starting gun for a race to try to earn more from God. It was actually a resting place from which we can celebrate and experience everything heaven has for us the moment we say yes to Jesus. There is a holy hunger, and that hunger is to discover the depths of who he is and to experience all that's already ours. But it's not to be a hunger. There's no biblical hunger to try to persuade God to give you more of what he's already given you. It's a hunger to see. It's a hunger to experience, not a hunger to earn. That's self-righteousness. That's the law. And it's broken many spiritual backs as we compare ourselves to other people and then try to imitate their pursuit and then get frustrated and feel rejected that somehow we must not have gotten it just right, because it doesn't seem to be our experience as theirs. When somebody's done all, Galatians uses the term, did you receive? The word receive means to take hold of the Spirit by the working of the law or by the hearing of faith. He said, do you begin in the Spirit but now you're perfecting your spirituality by your own performance. He says, doesn't he who performs wonders and signs in you and among you do it as a result of your hearing of faith? Hearing what? Hearing again and again. There are speakers who even will say, the cross is good, that's foundational, that's the starting point. We have to get beyond the cross. You can't ever get beyond the cross. Because the cross, Jesus said, it's finished, it's perfect, it's completed, it's accomplished. What? My completion in Christ. We cry out for blessings when he says, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He made it as easy as he could for us so that we could hear it in faith, lay hold of and experience everything. We cry out for an open heaven. And you're born into an open heaven. It was accomplished for you. Check that one off. You're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. Believe that you are under an open heaven and expect the kind of things that would happen with a person under an open heaven, and it'll happen. The Christian life is lived by faith. Faith, he said, the hearing of faith, not the striving of faith. Hearing what? Hearing what God has done. And believing results in manifestation. Remember what we've said before. Faith never waits for manifestation. Manifestation always waits for faith. And in Galatians chapter 2, Paul confronts Peter because Peter manifests some hypocrisy when friends of James show up in Antioch from Jerusalem and they're only eating with the Jewish believers as opposed to the Gentile believers. Peter stops eating with the Gentile believers and eats with the Jewish believers who think you have to add to the cross. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That's the gospel. And so Paul confronts him. Earlier in that chapter, it says he honors him as one of the pillars of the church, but he confronts him. And then he gets in this discussion with him, and he has this discussion openly, though it's all in quotes. He's just telling the Galatians about the discussion that he had with Peter in Antioch, and it's in quotes. So this is what he spoke to Peter in front of all the people that were listening. They said, look, you guys think that, I know that we're natural born Jews, and we're not sinners like the Gentiles. He said, but I'm going to tell you what's happened is the law, man's performance to please God, has exposed the fact that we're sinners just like they are. Grace exposes the fact that you're a sinner just like they are. And so your effort to be righteous through your performance and the do's and the don'ts, all that does is expose all the can'ts that you aren't able to accomplish. But he said, the gospel is this. Go back and read this section. Here's the gospel, he said. Here's the grace. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, life under the law is your performance for God. But the gospel, the good news that brings the all that you want to experience, is that it's all yours in the person Jesus, because he's lacking nothing. And you're now in him. The life that you now live is in Christ. I love, this is a translation called the Distilled. I like that translation. I consider myself as having died, and now I'm enjoying a new existence, which is simply Jesus using my body to live his life. And this last little verse, then I'll end. As he goes on in this letter to the Galatians who are slipping up under the law, performance, trying to earn the more, when they were born into the all. Do we discover more? Yes. Do we seek the Lord, discover more? Yes. But you can't get more than all that Jesus has. You just see more so that you can believe more, so that you can manifest more. He says, verse 16 of chapter 5, but I say walk by the Spirit. In other words, live by the life of Christ, same thing as abiding. And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. He didn't say stop carrying out the desires of the flesh so that you can walk in the Spirit. He didn't say come down front and promise God you won't do that anymore so that you can walk in the Spirit. He says walk in the Spirit so you won't do that anymore. Because Jesus is the only one who can live the Christian life in holiness and victory. That's again why Peter and John and the man by the gate beautiful was healed. Jesus said, it's not our piety. It's not our power. This man got healed. He says, it's the name of Jesus. Then he goes on and he says, it's the faith of Jesus that healed this man. Jesus believed he could heal him, and so we went for it. And as we go for it, he does it to us. But it wasn't because we were spiritual enough or have any power, but because he's spiritual enough and he has all the power. He says, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, that so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. It's not necessary for you to perform if he's performing through you. And then he says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousings, and things like these, which I forewarn you, that I have forewarned you before. That those who practice those things do not explore the kingdom of heaven, but the fruit of the Spirit, the life that Jesus lives, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And against those things, there's no need for law, because Jesus can live a spectacular Christian life. And that's what we're invited to participate in. And the more that we want to experience is resident in him. Again, do we seek him? Sure. Seek him passionately? Sure. But not because you're trying to wrestle something from a reluctant God, that you've done something that's made him be so proud of you that he's going to give you more that he was holding back until you proved yourself. He's already deposited the one who has the all. Christ is all, and he's in all. The one who has the all has been deposited in you, and he can live a spectacular Christian life. That's a Bible word. After 40, I discovered that reality when I first came to Christ in 76. I prayed the Baptist Bar Mitzvah prayer when I was 12, but when I was, even though I wasn't a Baptist, somebody told me about it. But when I was 23, I really fully surrendered at the bottom, when I was at the bottom of the heap. That was in 1976. But in 1978, desperate, I discovered that he had been more desperate for me than I'd ever been for him, and that his hunger for me had predated my hunger for him, and that he was so hungry for me to experience the all that he had deposited all that in me from the very beginning. And that was, whatever, 42 years ago. And I can tell you, 42 years later, I see more. The discovery is endless because the riches of Christ are unsearchable, and the experience becomes more splendid and more spectacular regardless of your circumstances. That's the wonder of the Christian life. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.